The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning, as we start out, anybody, any Facebook people in here? I don't know if you guys are on Facebook or not. All right. So our church posted a video this week inviting folks to our Thanksgiving meal. At the beginning of that video, there was this speech or inspirational moment. Did anybody recognize that voice? Who was it? Somebody said it.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey, the guy from, I don't know, the game show. And in there, for one, he said some intriguing things. And two, he got me interested because I didn't know if Steve Harvey was a Christian or not, but when he did some research, and he claims to be a believer or follower of Christ and things like that. And as I was listening to what he was saying in this speech, there was one phrase, one thing that he said that really just stuck in my head. He said, "Gratitude is the source of joy. Joy and depression cannot fill the same space." Now that stuck with me really hard because the first question that I ask is, what space are they filling? What space is your joy and gratitude both trying to fill? Emotional feelings? Your heart? Your attitudes? Okay, where does all that stuff happen? Your mind, right? All that stuff takes place right here. So, going back to what we did over the summer, for those of y'all that remember, we did a series called Battlefield for Your Mind. It's interesting to me that Steve Harvey, he was plugging my sermon series and he didn't even know it, you know? But that he said that battle takes place in your mind. Joy and depression can't occupy the same space. In other words, joy and depression are constantly battling for your mind, for my mind. They're constantly at war with each other, trying to fill this space that's in our head. So after I heard that verse or heard that saying from Steve Harvey, I started, and I'll jump back to Philippians 4, which is my favorite verse to go through when you talk about battling for your mind. And so I started reading through Philippians 4, and as I read through Philippians 4, the very first phrase stuck out to me. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Now, a couple things that caught me as I started reading through, Philippians 4 again. That's you to me. Y'all are my joy. I love my family dearly. Don't get me wrong; they're pretty cool. We get along awesome. We have a lot of fun together. It was your birthday? No, okay, we're not gonna do that. But I love y'all, man. You guys excite me. I love you dearly. And so you're my joy and my crown. You're what I enjoy spending my time with. You're who I enjoy being around. I enjoy coming here and worshiping with you and getting to serve our community together. But the second thing is what Paul says. He says to stand firm in the Lord in this way. In other words, Paul is telling you and I there's a way that we should live. There's something that we should do. There's a certain way that he is asking or teaching the people in Philippi, but also Christians today, to live. And he says that you and I would stand firm in this way. So that got me reading the entire verse, because that stood out to me, that there's some way that you and I should be living that's really important to Paul. Made me wonder if I'm living that way. So as I kept reading and I kept reading, I got down to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which you guys all know. But I'm going to read 11 through 13. "Not that I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The key verse there is Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What Paul is telling you is, hey, listen, there is a way that you and I can live in which we confidently overcome every circumstance that comes at us in life. Now, I'm going to back up and I'm going to say that again. Paul tells you and I, there is a way that we can live that regardless of our circumstances, we understand that we can confidently overcome. Well, what about my bank account? That says in any circumstance. Well, what about my diagnosis of this? That says in any circumstance. Well, what about my attitude problem with these people? Or I got these family members that, man, they just rub me the wrong way. In any circumstance. Paul says, the you and I, whatever your circumstance is today, anybody got a circumstance in their life? Okay, good, me too. Paul says, whatever circumstance it is, he spreads the net real wide and he says, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. Whatever you're going through, there is a way that you and I can live to confidently overcome that. That's what he means when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is that through God's work in your life, through the person of Jesus, you can overcome whatever circumstance you're going through. You can get through it. You can remain faithful. You can make it to the other side. Now, he gives us a couple different things and a couple different points as to how we do that. The first thing he tells you in verse 11 is that there's a learning curve. Going back and looking at verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in any whatever circumstances. This isn't something that just happened. This is a learning curve. This takes time. This takes Paul learning this process in his life, just like this takes learning in you and I's life. This isn't something that happens today. As soon as you walk out the doors, all of a sudden you realize that you can victoriously overcome or confidently overcome any circumstances. It takes learning that. Now, how do you learn?
Experience.
Good. Experience, right? Learning is a process. You learn probably, how many of you guys are, I can use this. How many of you guys are watchers? You learn by watching, you know what I mean? I've got two older brothers. I watched them make a ton of boneheaded decisions as a high schooler, which meant I learned what not to do to mom and dad to make them really angry. I watched my older brothers make all those mistakes. Growing up in high school, mom and dad thought I was the perfect kid because I watched how my brothers got in trouble. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do everything else, or I'm going to hide what I do better than mom and dad from mom and dad. How many of you are doers? You learn by doing. Unfortunately, I learned like that too. Because I learned and I watched and I heard people tell me, hey, listen, this is a danger, this is a pitfall, this is something you need to avoid. But what did I have to do? I had to experience it for myself because it's not real. I don't learn it until I experience it for myself, until I do it. Learning is a process. And so what Paul says is, listen, all the ways you learn, you need to make sure that you're drilling this into your head, that you're learning this. This is there's a learning curve. There's a way to learn to be content in every circumstance. The other thing that it does is learning takes repetition. When you go back up and you read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always, delight or take pleasure in him. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people, for the Lord is near. Paul tells us in this passage twice to rejoice. In other words, this idea of repetition. Again, I'll tell you rejoice. Again, I'll tell you rejoice. The other thing he tells you is he gives you some characteristics. And he says your graciousness, your unselfishness, your mercy, your tolerance, your patience be known to all men. Now, if I know that Nora's favorite vegetable is broccoli. How did I know that? Because I see her eat it. You think I knew that the first time I fed her broccoli? I know this guy used to dig for dinosaur fossils. Did I know that the first time I met him? What happened?
I heard about it.
Over the process of time, I got to know JB better. And as I got to know JB better, I found out about JB's growing up and his childhood. I found out about Nora liking broccoli over time because the first time she tried it and she liked it. And then the next time she tried it and she liked it more. And now she asked for it for dinner. It's this idea of getting to know, and as you and I get to know, what happens over time, when Paul says this, he says, people will know you by these characteristics. In other words, the more time you spend with people, the more that you are around people, this is going to be known about your life. Now, what does that mean? That means that it has to continually be a part of your life. Learning is repetition. It means doing it over and over and over again. It's something that you do over and over and over again over a series of time. And as you do something over and over and over again point of time, it becomes a continual part of who you are in your life. Paul says, in order to learn this, what you and I have to do is we have to practice this continually. This has to be something that we practice continually. So it's this idea that we have to learn how to do this, right? We have to learn how to victoriously overcome or confidently overcome these issues and circumstances in life. But not just that, he tells you in verse 12 that there's a secret to it as well. Do y'all like secrets?
No.
I love secrets. If you ever want to come tell me a secret, I'm a great person to tell secrets to, because I don't talk to anybody other than my dog, really. And I say, you're always busy with the kids. He tells you there's a secret in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. The secret to this type of life is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul tells you there, don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your special requests known to God. And the peace of God, which reassures the heart, the peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Paul tells you that the secret to living this type of life, to experiencing this sense of confidence, confident overcoming in every and all circumstances, is thankful prayers. How much of your prayer life is spent thanking God? Let me put it a different way. My prayer life looks a lot like this. Hey, God, I got some stuff going on. I need you to take care of this situation. God, I got in over my head again. I need you to take care of this. God, I'm really struggling with this today. I need you to come in. I need you to help me get through this. Hey, God, if you can help Kelsey, I know she's going through some stuff. Hey, God, if you can help this person, I know they're going through some stuff. Now, is there anything wrong with praying for other people or praying for yourself? No. But when I look at my own prayer life, I'll say this just to me. When I look at my prayer life, a lot of my prayer life is focused on me. It's focused on my needs, my wants, focused on other people's needs and their wants. A thankful prayer life is not a big part of what I preach or what I practice. So as I was thinking through this, this was a gut shot to me. Because I didn't realize how focused I was on other things. He tells you that when you start to experience this thankful prayer life, the peace of God will be with you. But a thankful prayer life changes your focus. It removes anxiety and worry because it focuses on what you have instead of what you don't have. It focuses on what you have instead of what you need. It focuses on what you have or what you've experienced versus what you were going through or dealing with right now. A thankful prayer life helps us to see God's faithfulness and therefore rely more on his faithfulness tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. A thankful prayer life changes who we are. That's the secret that Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. That's how we live confidently in every circumstance. The secret to this confidence is gratitude. That's where we experience the peace of God. When we train our minds to focus on what we're grateful for, read with me, if you will, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there's anything excellent or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, when you and I train our minds to think about these things. And he gives you the list, and I left this space in your bulletin for you on purpose. Because we're kind of starting the month of November. We're starting when we're supposed to be thankful for things and we're supposed to be grateful for things. And what Steve Harvey said in that clip, or that audio clip that kind of captivated me earlier in the week. He said, joy and depression can't exist in the same space. He said, when you continue or you train your mind or you make yourself think about all the things you're grateful for, what do you think happens to the depression that's in your mind? Goes away. The more I start to think about all the things I'm grateful for, guess what goes away? All the things I don't have. All the things I'm mad about or I didn't get or I don't have right now or because I'm doing this and I'm suffering and I'm going through these hard times or I'm going through this difficult situation. When I fill my mind with things I'm grateful for, all that stuff starts to get pushed aside. Now, to take it even more into a Christian standpoint, because I don't know if Steve Harvey meant it as a Christian or if he just meant it to be inspirational, but as for you and I as Christians, what that means for us is this: the more we think about all we have, the more we see God's faithfulness played out in our life time and time and time again. The more we see God's faithfulness played out in our lives time and time again, the more we trust him to take more steps and follow closer to him every single day. What this does, what training our minds to focus on what we're grateful for does, is it causes you and I to win the battle that goes on for our mind. It occupies the space of our mind with all the things we're grateful for instead of the things that we want or we don't have or we think we need. Y'all ever have a pity party? I did something the other day. I said something just in passing in the kitchen, and Kelsey goes, I guess we're just going to have a pity party. Let me join the circle. I'll sit down right next to you, and we'll just pitch a fit right here. She gets that from her dad. He's a coach. That loving, nurturing spirit. But I realize, man, so many times it's so easy to get captivated, to get caught up in the things I don't have, in what I'm missing or aren't going the way I want them to right now. And what that makes me do is this: that makes me start to lose that battle from my mind, because then I start to worry about them. I start to become anxious about it. I start to think of ways I can get it or ways that I can fix this or ways that I can make it better instead of trusting God, instead of relying on his faithfulness and watching his faithfulness work in my life, which then causes me to trust him more, which then makes me automatically lean on him more and automatically become closer to him. This idea of gratitude helps you and I win the battle for our mind. When you and I can focus on what we're grateful for instead of what we don't have, it changes the way we view our entire world. Man, when we moved here, this was a phrase that I heard over and over and over again. Why did you come to Mooringsport, Louisiana? To which I would say, I don't know. I just, they called and I came. I don't know. But it became more than just this phrase. It became this mentality where people looked and they saw the world that they lived in. They saw their community and they thought, this place is lacking everything. Why would you come here? We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have this. We don't have that. Can I tell you what I've seen change in our church? Gratefulness for the community that we've been placed in. And instead of we don't have this, I've seen our church rally around the call of we don't yet, but what could we do one day? Man, we're not there yet, but what could we do one day? Man, we are in a perfect position. There are people you could literally kick a rock and hit a house where somebody is suffering and needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in any direction from our church. What a golden opportunity we have. instead of looking at all the things that Mooringsport doesn't have and getting down on who our church is or the community we're in, let's step up to the calling and say, hey, listen, we don't have everything, but we've got a golden opportunity, and we are so grateful that, God, you've placed us right here in the middle of this broken community that needs to see you. The bridge is out. Did y'all know that? You know what that makes every single person who is driving down LA1 pass by on their way to wherever they're going? The front doors of our church. It'd be so easy to say, bridge is out, it takes me 7 more minutes to go to La Herradura than I wanted to go. Instead of the bridge is out, everybody has to see our church. What a golden opportunity for us to share the good news, the love, the grace, the mercy that's changed our life. I'm grateful the bridge is out. I'm grateful we live in a lost and broken community. I'm grateful I get to serve in that lost and broken community with lost and broken people just like me. Man, I'm not upset or bummed about it at all. I'm so grateful that God has placed us exactly where we are, exactly the moment we needed, because he has some remarkable and amazing things to do. So this month, this is my challenge. This is my encouragement to you. That list, I left space for you. Think of something that's true that you're grateful for. Think of something that's honorable, that's noble, that's excellent, that's worthy of praise. Think of something that is great, that you're grateful for in your life, and list it there. And during the month of November, pray. When you pray, go down your list. God, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. I thank you for this. And watch joy and gratitude fill the space in your mind and push out negativity and depression. And watch what God does as he proves his faithfulness to you time and time again and encourages you to remain faithful to him. God, thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for these people. God, they are my brothers and my sisters. They're my crown and my joy. Father, they're who I get to serve a broken community with. And God, you have placed us in the exact spot we need to be. So, Father, I thank you for that. I'm grateful for what you're doing in the lives of your people in this church. But God, I'm thankful for what you're doing in this community through this church. God, I pray that as individuals, as followers of Christ today, that we would win the battle for our mind. And Lord, we would replace depression and anxiety and worry and want with gratitude and thanksgiving. God, we would see the difference it makes in our life. That you would allow us to see the trust, the faith that it places in you. And God, our lives would be remarkably different because of it this month. Lord, thank you for who you are. Father, thank you for your blood on the cross that allows us to have a relationship with you. Lord, we pray that you would just work in this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.